This piece was brought to you by Roberta's, robertaspizza.com.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network. We're a member-supported food radio network broadcasting over 35 weekly shows live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. Join our hosts as they lead you through the world of craft brewing, behind the scenes of the restaurant industry, inside the battle over school food, and beyond. Find us at heritageradionetwork.org.
Hey, welcome to Beer Sessions Radio on the Heritage Radio Network. It's February 27th, 2018, and this is New York City Beer Week. We got some special guests here celebrating. New York City Beer Week means a lot to a lot of people, but in New York, it means that there's like 30 breweries, and we've got some of the breweries that opened the class of 2017. So let's go around the room. Each guest will introduce themselves and their brewery. We'll start with Sean. Yeah.
Sean Torres, Killsboro Brewing Company.
On Staten Island, right?
Yep, Staten Island.
And say your borough.
Keon Ovesi from Five Boroughs Brewing Company. We're in Sunset Park, Brooklyn.
Brooklyn.
Katarina Martinez, Lineup Brewing, and also in Brooklyn.
All right.
Danny Bruckert, Circa Brewing Company, downtown Brooklyn.
Downtown Brooklyn.
Danny Oliver, Island to Island Brewery in Flatbush, Brooklyn.
Flatbush, Brooklyn.
Jimmy, it's good to be back. I'm Kyle from Randolph Beer in Dumbo, Brooklyn.
Dumbo, Brooklyn. All right. So, guys, welcome to the show, and let's get the first beer pouring. Big shout out to our sponsors this week. It's Roberta's Pizza, and we're out here every Tuesday in Bushwick. You know, something special about Beer Week is just the crew of people. You know, let's talk about the highlights of the week so far. I mean, this is Tuesday of Beer Week. For some of us, it started a week ago. There have been brewers in from out of state doing collaborations. Many of us are starting to lose our voices by this day. But why don't you each tell us a highlight of what Beer Week's been for you and your brewery. Danny, I know you were involved in one of the special festivals.
Yeah, so there's a lot of events going on this week that are absolutely amazing all around New York City. We're doing one where we're actually cooking. So our brewer, Kevin, who's also a chef, is bringing out some family recipes that he's marinating in our beer. So you're not just going to be drinking our beer, you're going to be eating beer also. Yeah, and I think Beer Week for us has meant literally coming out to the world. So now people know who we are, and we're
island to island.
You know, fiction.
Yeah, and Kat, you know, you've been to every event. What were some of the highlights for you so far?
I am known for going to every event, and
she's famous.
That was good. I really do try and not die during this week because there's so many just amazing brewers in town and amazing breweries. And this year, honestly, in particular, we had the New York City Brewers Guild. We brought out some amazing brewers from out of state and through, honestly, I think one of the best festivals the nation's seen right now. And we have the potential to make it really, really big.
So the opening bash event.
Yeah, yeah. I'm sure if you were there, you saw, you know, The Veil, Monkish, Casa Agria, like so many. Of course, I have like a West Coast thing, but I am just from all over, amazing breweries.
That's great. And you're all new breweries too, so this was really your first big beer week.
Yeah, for us it was interesting because you know, usually we pour at these events as home brewers and as not on a commercial scale. So being there with all these great breweries and brands, it was really special for us. And you know, we were, you know, it was amazing. And you know, we're happy to be a part of it, and we're excited for you know, the rest of the events this week.
And Kyle, how have your beers been going over? I haven't been over yet to Randolph.
Yeah, it's been going great. You know, the response from everybody has been overwhelming. Crazy busy, but you know, in definitely a good way. And right now we just tapped our Smash beer, which is a beer to guard, used black dirt malt from the guys up in Pine Island, New York. And it's tasting great. And specifically with us being a brew pub, it goes great with the food, which is something that we approach every beer that we make, kind of from an aspect of what on our menu is it going to pair with.
And most of you guys have different licenses, kind of different operations. What type of license do you guys have?
We have a restaurant brewer license, which is similar to a farm brewer license, but there are some key differences. One that we found out, you know, there's some distributing thing hurdles that we have to cross that we're working on, you know, to just bring some more beer out to the public. But, you know, it's the state has really embraced it, and it's a great thing for us coming from the restaurant side to now being.
So now I can only get your beer at your establishment.
Currently, yeah, only at our establishments can you get Randolph beer.
And Danny too. So Circa Brewing, you also have a similar restaurant brewery license.
Yeah, we do, and I'm honestly trying to push back from joining the distribution game. I really like that a brewery serves its beer on premise, and you have to go there to get it. There's something romantic about that, and I dig it, man.
And did you make any special beers for Beer Week?
You know, honestly, I hate to admit it, but I almost let Beer Week just pass me right by. I almost completely forgot about it. Someday I think I'm just going to walk out of the brew house and I'm going to walk into this Armageddon atmosphere, like I'll just, the whole world just completely changed. But I would have been completely absent from it if it wasn't for Five Boroughs reaching out to us and many of the other new breweries to do this great collaboration that they did in their beautiful new brew house.
Is that what we're drinking right now? What's the first beer that we
have? So, yeah, you're drinking a Kills Barrel Sleight of Hand.
Of course, Sean put it in there. Double it's IPA. Great, man.
Thank you very much.
Appreciate it. Tastes like a dry hop double IPA.
Yeah, we're very proud of this beer, and we released it for a beer week, so perfectly timed in our opinion. And just to extend on the restaurant with the brewer's license, we have the same thing at Kills Barrel. And one of the I guess, caveats or the obstacles is we're only allowed to distribute 250 barrels. And in order to up that capacity, we need to open another location. And that's sort of one of the, I guess, location hurdles of New York City. And as we discussed earlier before the episode, how difficult it is as breweries and new breweries to find locations. So it's something that we're trying to plan now, even though we just opened last year.
Yeah. We'll get to that. But let's just go back. So, Kian, Five Boroughs Brewery.
Yep.
You're out kind of like beyond Sunset Park meets Bay Ridge, right?
Exactly. Yeah, we're on 47th between 2nd and 3rd.
So you're different than everyone else. I mean, you guys are actually a little bigger.
Yeah, we do have
craft brewery.
Yeah, so we are a full-scale production facility. We actually just got a new license in January. We got our combined craft manufacturing, which is actually our MI-101 combined with also a New York State farm brewery license. So it'll kind of allow us to also serve any New York State wine, cider, liquor, and even other New York State labeled beers in the tap room, which we're pretty excited about, to at least have some variety in there for customers that maybe either are gluten intolerant or just want to come in with a group and have a wine or a cider opposed to a beer. So that's something totally new for us. We haven't really implemented any of that as far as what we're offering in the tap room, but that's something new.
So the big news, another reason why you guys are here, you're the class of 2017. There's other breweries too, like Fifth Hammer,
sure.
Chris Kuzme, yeah. Death Company.
Death Avenue.
And is there anyone else that's missing from the Wartega?
So Wartega.
Yeah. And everyone came together at Fifth.
Yeah, so about a month ago, everyone came
made
out,
a beer.
Everyone who opened in 2017, and we brewed what we're calling a New York City Pale Ale, which is, it's pretty basic kind of malt bill, mostly two row, but we also have some cool New York State Warthog wheat up from Valley Malt, which is an heirloom variety, and we're also using a bunch of New York State Cascade and Chinook in the beer as well. So we canned that, and we did a release last Thursday at the brewery. Yeah, so and a bunch of the breweries are going to have it for sale in their tap rooms as well, which is a great advantage of the New York State kind of farm brewery license that will allow the other breweries to sell. Even though the product was brewed at our facility, we'll still allow them to sell
yeah.
it, which is great.
And that's great. That's a resource. You guys are big enough to do some things like that.
Yeah.
Who wants to talk about that brew day? I mean, this is kind of, you guys have kind of stole the thunder from Beer Week. It's almost like you guys really did one of the cooler projects. And, you know, who are the people instigating it? Who are kind of driving the recipes?
Well,
jump in, everybody.
I thought that we were going to have a lot more input in recipes because I've done like one collab before, and it was like a back and forth of what we should do and what we shouldn't do and what's really going to bring out each brewery's like complexities and individuality. This one was like, here's the recipe, this is what we're doing. And we got there, like my sleeves were rolled up, I was ready to work, I was ready to carry some bags of grains into the mill, and it was all done. It was like watching like Disney World. It was just like, okay, that's doing that and that's doing that. And what do? We drink beer and we chat with each other and learn from one another. So it was really like being in the lunchroom, like
high school. I don't know, lunchroom. Danny. I dumped in the rice holes, and I feel like that was really important.
See what I had did, right? Because I was like, I need to get my hands in this. I dumped my hands in the hot bucket, and I was like, my hand went into this beer.
Did you get a picture of that, Danny?
I don't know. I got to check my feed.
You did such a great. Also, just heads up, she did all the Instagram for the New York City Fermentation Festival.
Thank you. Very awesome too.
Keep going, the collab process.
You know, it's funny because my attitude towards it's a little bit different because every day we're in the brewery working and we're, you know, it's manual labor and it's exhausting. And when I get an email and it says, this is the recipe, I look and I go, looks good. Yeah, I agree. I wouldn't change a thing. That's great. And that's, you know, and you get there and the sort of camaraderie and everybody brewing together and being there, you know, I mean, at least the way I look at it is we all know what doing in is like, and we all know what, you know, laudering and sparging and everything else. But it's the idea that we're there kind of communicating and connecting and sort of pushing this culture together that I thought was really great. And if there was something in the recipe that I didn't agree with necessarily, I would have voiced it. But I mean, the beer came out great, so.
I'd have to second that. I mean, for me personally, I was actually having a terrible day that day. It was pretty much one of those restaurant things where everything that can go wrong will go wrong. You know, glycol was acting up. This beer was pouring bad. This person quit on us with last second notice. So it was one of those days that I was just ready to punch holes in the wall. So it was really nice to be able to say, you know what, guys? I'm going to the collaboration. I'm going to go have a beer and hang out with some friends and just relax for a minute. And my entire attitude changed when I got back to work. Everybody actually was like, you're a much pleasant person to be around now.
Did you put your hands in anything, Kyle?
No, I don't think I got time. At that point, it was already in the kettle, and I think that would probably be disastrous.
Danny?
When I showed up there, I didn't even bring my boots. I completely expected not to do shit. I showed up like it was going to be a nice little vacation away from my brew house. I was going to get to check out a brand new brew house and enjoy drinking some beers with this beautiful little community we have. And it was great. It was awesome. It was everything that I wanted to get out of it.
All right, guys. So my expectations are now in check. The next collab, I'm going to come in my slippers and my sweatpants, and I'm chilling.
I totally admire your willingness to work. And for the next collab, if they need somebody doughing in, I know who I'm volunteering.
Not even collab, just like... I'm sure there's breweries all over the city if you want to go.
Yeah, if you want to come by Killsboro and match and dome with us, that's totally cool.
I will say this, though. For the next collab, if you want me island to island there, there's going to be fruit in it.
I knew it.
I'm putting fruit in that.
Lava. Why not?
And we're passing around the can. We're passing around the can right now. Everybody should definitely check out on Instagram. It's not hard to find. I think it's an awesome, cool piece of can art that the guys at Five Boroughs were able to come up with. So definitely check that out. It's a cool label.
Yeah, I have to give credit to our brewer, Nick Griffin. His fiance, Abby, did all the artwork for both the can. We also have a glass that kind of went along with it.
So, Ken, who came up with the recipe?
So Nick, our head brewer, Nick Griffin, he came up with the initial base recipe. I was not on the chain of emails as far as the recipe kind of discussion, so whether there was any back and forth, I'm not really sure as far as initial changes, but it was important for us to make it a New York State beer, not only to allow everyone to be able to kind of sell it in their own tasting room, but I just think, you know, as part of the class of 2017 and just how great New York State has been overall for supporting its brewers, I think it just makes sense that as much as we can do to support New York State agriculture and just bring that kind of to the front of line for people to know and see how good things are actually getting, especially on the malt side. It's really great. The Warthog wheat that we got was awesome. I think everyone's been really happy with it. So,
and one question, like of your group, you know, excuse me, the new breweries, you know, like Chris Kuzume, to me, I've known him a long time at Fifth Hammer. Is he really standing out in your guys' minds as a new brewer, or you guys all feel equal?
Kuzume's always been a rock star.
I mean, he is a really big part, thank you, of the craft beer community. And I mean, from his different brands to Ferment About It, to the Fermentation Fest, to everything that Mary does and has her hands Mary into. It's really hard not to hold a place in your heart for Kuzmi and Mary. I mean, they're a big part of, even why we continue to do what we do.
Because, Hammer, all right.
You know, before anybody knew us, Mary was walking by talking about, you're going to join the guild? When are you going to join the guild? Join the guild. And we're just like, okay, Mary, we'll find the money.
I mean, I think a bunch of us went
and
to...
And I'm Mary Izette.
I think a bunch of us were, I don't know, at their wedding, right? I know Sean and I were. They are a huge staple of New York City beer. Yeah. They helped me, like, just get into it. So it's they're awesome. Amazing.
We got so much more to talk about. We'll be back in a few minutes on Beer Sessions Radio. All right.
Roberta's, a super duper awesome place. Roberta's is a very, 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 very proud sponsor of the Heritage Radio Network. We're also super awesome. Thank you, Heritage.
Hey, welcome back to Beer Sessions Radio on the Heritage Radio Network. Hey, it's New York City Beer Week episode celebrating the class of 2017, the new breweries that opened in New York City. And we're drinking the collab beer. Keon from Five Boroughs Brewing. So the eight or nine brewers came to your brewery, and we made this New York Pale Ale. So who wants... Danny, you want to talk about the style here?
The style? I mean, it's... Let's see here. You know, it's funny. When the email was sent about the collaboration, I was really curious to see how this was going to play out, because you got five breweries here, and you're expecting people to put their input. And there was this radio silence. And I think Nick eventually said, you know what? Fuck it. I'm just going to send out a recipe, and they can comment and critique the recipe. But it's a, it's a New York City pale ale. You could probably speak better to this than me, but it's really refreshing. It's got a great hop nose. It's clear, which I totally respect in the New England IPA era, right? So it's a classic, very refreshing, very drinkable American pale ale. You don't get an aggressive bitterness. You get a very smooth, clean bitterness, and it's very fragrant, very sessionable.
I think you hit the word that I love right now, which is drinkable. Is there's so many beers out there, and they may be great for 6-8 ounces, maybe 10 or 16, but that's all you're going to have, and you're going to move on to something else. With this beer, I could have a couple, love it, still get full flavor. It's not like I'm missing anything, but it's very drinkable. That's totally. What I love.
Yeah, and one of the impressing things about it, too, is the New York ingredients. If you drank a beer using New York malts and hops 2 years ago, it wasn't tasting like this. And this beer, I cracked one open Saturday while we were boiling our kettle sour, and I was like, wow, this is amazing. I'm really happy with how this turned out.
So how does it work with the collab? Is everyone that was part of it get some of the cans? How does it work in terms of sales? And whose product is it?
Just because everyone was able to resell it, we opened it up and just asked how much do each people want, and different breweries took different quantities, whether it was just cases or half barrels or six stills. And then
you sell it to each brewery at wholesale?
We were giving them or selling them at wholesale.
But you guys buy all the ingredients? And
yeah, as far as the upfront cost for raw materials, that was on us. Yep.
Wow. But, yeah. Who else has done some really cool collaborations? I do want to say that I was lucky to be at KCBC last Thursday, and they had Pure Projects from San Diego, and then also Prison City from upstate there. So there must have been some really cool people in town making collaborations.
So we did a collaboration with Wartega. It's our second collaboration. So this is Trade Routes number 2. And it was based on the current roll pastry that we have in Trinidad. It's a very popular pastry. So it's a very bready amber ale, light ale kind of. It's spectrum, and then we threw currants in it afterwards in the end. So it's a beer that inspired me to have something where, you know how you eat something and you just want that flavor to last on your tongue even though you need to take a drink? This is what that beer does. You can enjoy the currant roll, enjoy a pastry, sip a beer, and that flavor is going to linger on your tongue. And that's something that...
And then Ortega's also, he also does fruit beers as
yes,
well.
Yes, he also does fruit yeah. beers. So it wasn't too much back and forth. It was more adjusting how much Victory we put in there, what can we substitute if we didn't have enough of one grain. And his wife, Mimi, came out. So it was like, you know, a little couples therapy session while brewing.
You got your brewing couples therapy. You got your slippers on. Any other great collaborations that happened this past week?
There were a ton. I'm sure all the beer nerds know, just the people that were in town. I know Other Half did an awesome collaboration with Monkish. Keon and I were just talking about this, and he called them the other half of the West Coast. So, wow. I mean, you bring those two together, you're gonna get some crazy lines the way the other half does. So, and I got to hang out with Henry at Beer Street during the Suarez event, and that guy's so awesome. He's just like super chill and like really nice. I mean, you expect that from California people, but like he's like really awesome. God, who else was in town? Everybody was in town. Suarez, I got to hang out with Dan Suarez. I'm sure everybody knows him really well. He is just making brilliant beer.
But isn't it funny that some guys come to town and putting their name on a beer, whether they're making it or not, helps it sell, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
It's very interesting. It, you know, there's this like fandom with beer right now, right? It's I saw people, I always get really like almost uncomfortable when people like want to take a photo with me, but like I look at Henry and he's like way up here, right? And they're just all these beer nerds are like, oh my God, that's Henry
from
Monkish.
Some of the sweat from his brow is in that blue.
Exactly.
Wash his feet in it. Yeah.
Yes.
Danny knows what I'm saying. He's like, put your feet in and you know.
It's crazy. Like beer right now is like hip hop. You know, you have to do collaborations. You have to have a feature. Like if you want to blow up, if you want attention, you got to make friends with the right guys, have them come to your brewery, hang out, take pictures, talk about it to your customers, and it gets people excited about you because, you know, if Circa is willing to come to island and hang with us, I'm sure we're going to have people paying attention to us in a very different way. And then Circa, you're going to get people coming to you saying, you know, what is this? Who are these people? Where are they at? Didn't know they existed. And now we've built a community just because we came together as friends.
It's funny you actually brought the music thing in because music has actually started to come in the collaborations. Innerborough has done it with Run the Jewels. I know Barrier has done a couple things. Mike DeScarfino has really led that. And we actually did a collaboration with them for my cousin's band, Thrice. But it's this music thing, and they're appreciating the same sort of aspect of like getting together, you know, just kind of being together, having fun in the brew day, and then releasing something, hyping it up, and making it a big thing.
Ken, do you think that you guys are really set up for the collaborations? I mean, Five Barrel Brewing, you got, what do you have, like 15 barrel system?
We have a 30 barrel system. And then we also have a 5 barrel that we've been doing a bunch of collaborations on. I think one that stands out, it wasn't this past week, but just since we've opened, was with Jason from Strong Rope. We did another all New York State adjunct lager, and we kind of broke out our old More Beer 20 gallon homebrew setup, and we did a cereal mash. I did an all New York State adjunct lager that just turned out great that we were super stoked on.
That's great. And what about on Staten Island? Is anybody coming out for collaborations?
No one's taking the boat over to Staten Island, unfortunately. No, we've been.
Wait till the weather gets better.
Yeah, no. And you know, for us, it's we've been, you know, this week since Beer Week started, we've been so busy in the brew house that, you know, it's been hard to engage the community too much. We did go to the Arcane second anniversary party, and I met Vito from Noble there, and he was a awesome dude. Got to drink their golden stout at opening bash. But you know, we have plans in the near future to do some collabs. You know, it's just a timing thing, and get the right people on board.
You know, talk about the history of collaborations in New York City. I remember when not too long ago, as y'all know, there were only 4 breweries in New York City. And it was really like 2011-ish, whenever Brooklyn Brewery decided to stay in Williamsburg and they expanded the brewery in their original spot, suddenly every brewer that was coming through New York, and this is the thing, you know, everyone comes through New York City, whether they're coming from Europe or the West Coast, they go somewhere else. Every brewer that was flying through New York would stop in to make a beer with Garrett Oliver, and that was kind of the start. And I still credit that moment with Brooklyn Brewery staying in Williamsburg. I feel like that's really what launched all these New York City breweries. It's like if they hadn't stayed, things might have changed. And this big cheers to Brooklyn Brewery for that. Talk about things of 2017. The hottest news, Kat, you were part of, and I don't know if you can talk about it, but you did make the beer that got the most buzz for 2017, the Beer Yance.
Beer Yance.
Yeah. I don't know if I can say it, though.
Did you say beer? Oh. No, that's what we're drinking right now.
You know there was news about it, but what is the actual beer?
It's a German Pilsner. I actually, you know, I made this recipe as a homebrewer a few years ago with the Brewminaries.
Tastes like a good German Pils, doesn't it, Danny?
Yes, it does.
Yeah, he just told me he really liked it, and obviously I respect this guy, so that's pretty cool. I mean, outside of the buzz, this is just a really good German Pils, honestly, and yes, we can't make it with the same label again, but it will come back as something. You know, we renamed the rest of them to just my name because they can't sue you if it's your own name. And then we, you know, it's going to come back, but it'll probably be a funny pun, like something like lemonade.
But you did,
something.
You know, as Danny Oliver was saying, you know, music's coming into this, but you really did. I mean, that was a big coup that no one before in New York City had done, had named a beer. Celebrity reference, gotten notoriety for
they might be smarter than I is why I you know it was again I keep saying this but I really am a big fan of Beyonce, so it was just like kind of a shout out to her. Obviously it gets a little controversial when it starts to look like someone's album. We've seen it before. You know, Brian Strumke at Stillwater had a big thing with Kanye West. He got a cease and desist as well.
What was that beer called?
I miss the old Kanye. And he had to change it. He changed it to the old Strumke. And so he named it to he changed it to his name as well. That's why I changed it to my name as well. So I took a page from the old Strumke book. But you know, a lot of breweries name beers after music. They go hand in hand. A lot of it's just like inspired. We listen to a lot of music when we're brewing. Like we, you know, a lot. It ends up being this like shout out. So it surely was not supposed to be what it turned into being. I don't know. Don't meet your heroes. It becomes really complicated.
You guys are maybe much more ambitious than me, but I wonder if I did like a collaboration or I made a beer that was named after Papaya King. I wonder if I would get a cease and desist.
No,
I mean,
I think you would love that.
That's something you kind of put in a plaque and hang on your wall, yeah. Right? I mean, that's kind of awesome.
I mean, the cease and desist is being framed right now because... How often do you get a letter from Mrs. Carter herself? That's pretty dope. Hello.
I know Danny Oliver's got her mind's going.
I'm trying to stay out of it because Kevin believes that me and Kat have a beef over Beyonce. And I'm neither here to confirm nor deny that beef.
Wait, who is Kevin?
Kevin is the brewer.
Oh, the from you? You guys have a
You know the cute dude with the... No. He thinks that we have a beef.
Oh.
And I'm not supposed to talk about it.
Oh.
And so I'm neither here to confirm nor deny whether there's a beef about it.
There's so much drama in the New York City beef.
All right, Sean.
I just want to say something about the music, though. Like, you really can't be mad at us as brewers. Like, when you drink, you're listening to music. And I have two beers right now that's named after Calypso songs. I have the Mighty Sparrow IPA. I'm hoping that Sparrow will come out of his house and talk to me. Because my family house is right across the street from his. We also named our smash beer, Gene and Dinah, Rosita and Clementina, which nobody gets. It's lost in translation. But it's a song about Yankees, New Yorkers, coming to Trinidad, smashing our women, and then going home and Sparrow taking over. And no one gets it.
Smashing.
It's a smash beer.
Yeah.
I need clarification here.
Define.
Smashing out women?
Country of origin.
You know, sex. Oh. Smash.
Wow. Say, let's Danny smash? Is like the most controversial person you brought on the show.
I don't know. I'm feeling really old right now.
Well, that's a really old song. It's like 50 years old. But when we drink beer, we listen to music, right? It's like when people smoke weed. They're thinking, they're artistic, they're listening to music, they're listening to things that inspire them. And what gets you going when you're brewing? It's music, you know? What gets you going when you're drinking? It's music. And it inspires us so much that we just want to speak to those artists the way we speak to each other as brewers. Like, I'm sitting in a room full of celebrities right now. You don't understand how nervous I am to be around these guys. And I'm just like, can I get your autograph? Danny, no, you're peers with them. You don't ask them for their autograph. But I mean,
Danny, you're my celebrity.
I'm gonna stop talking now.
Well, you know, next year we'll have to call the beer Smashing NYC. All the single ladies.
Next year we're gonna need like a show of our own. Honestly, a little.
There you go.
Yeah.
Like ladies. A Kardashian.
All right, Sean.
I don't know how to follow.
You gotta follow. So Staten Island, they don't do that kind of stuff.
It's funny because it's the exact opposite. Actually, Phil, one of our partners, said we are not allowed to name a single beer after any Wu-Tang songs because you're from Staten Island. It's the first thing anybody associates you with. Not to say that that's bad. It isn't. You know, we love Wu-Tang, and we listen to it often in the brew house. But there is this sort of like, you know, if it's too closely aligned, we don't want to... what's the word called?
Feel their wrath.
Yeah. No, not feel their wrath. Take advantage of that or use it in a way to just sell our product. If it was something that was more emotional, a much more of a connection, then we may.
Like maybe someone actually sat and made the beer with
exactly.
you.
Exactly. But just to do it just because we're from Staten Island, we haven't been felt compelled to do
that. That's the Staten Island problem.
We have a few problems.
Gotta get over
there's a, you know, we being the only borough that costs money to get in but is free to leave is another issue that we're currently experiencing. But we've also couldn't have asked for a better first 6 months for the brewery. So, when it comes to naming our beers, it's more, a little esoteric, more inside jokes, more references to, you know, the things that we do behind the scenes. And
I feel like you're missing out, man.
Yeah. I also feel
code,
like,
right?
Sean was there when I made Beer Yonce as a homebrewer.
It
was because I missed the concert that I was supposed to go to for the event that we were serving at. So it surely was not supposed to be like take advantage of any of Beyonce's crowd. But I'm very excited.
Great.
That it got this.
Let's also make sure we've talked a little bit about each one of your breweries has a slightly different license, you know, different sizes, different, you know, missions, whatever. But Kyle, let's talk about you guys individually. So you're an interesting guy. So you're working at a restaurant brewery, but you're really part of this restaurant bar group. But you're like a high-level Cicerone.
Yeah.
And you really know a lot about beer.
I know a few things. But I'm a barely almost missed the advanced Cicerone tasting portion. I passed the written portion. That's something I'm passionate about is the education side. And at Randolph, we've embraced that. I mean, all of our bartenders have to be certified beer servers. All of our GMs have to be certified Cicerones. So we're actually getting ready to start launching a education program. We're going to do some classes at a test kitchen. It's important to us, and it's important to me. We're not going to go in and say that we know everything, but we're exploring together along with our crowd. I mean, if you look at the people that come to Randolph, you know, we don't necessarily go out and seek a ton of beer geeks, and it's not really who we are. We like to see those people that want a Bud Light, and then we can convert them over to something really nice.
And then
you
also have like the self, what was it called? Self-guided beer system?
Yeah, we call it the beer wall. Beer yourself is the tagline that we've gone with. It's the ultimate beer flight experience. We try and staff someone on the wall, especially on like a Friday night, to curate an experience with the guest as they get to pour themselves. And so you can pour 1 ounce, 5 ounces, 10 ounces, 16 ounces, whatever you're looking to do, but you can try all the different beers. And so if somebody's there to talk to you about it, they can go, oh yeah, so this is the difference between that IPA and this IPA. Or you're looking for a Budweiser, this is a nice Pilsner, or this is a Golden Ale that'll work for you.
So I could try 4 or 5 beers to see which one I liked before I bought a full size.
Well, I mean, you pay for the ounce, but I mean, if you pay for, you know, if it's 56 cents an ounce, you know, and you pour 1 ounce to taste it, it's not that much. You know, you're willing to go in and try something new.
Wow, that's awesome. Well, guys, and we're going to have one more segment. We're going to be back in a few minutes on Beer Sessions Radio. All right. Woo.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Thank you.
not a qualified physician.
Hey, like what you hear? Heritage Radio Network has plenty more. With fresh programming every week, we've got something for everyone. Trying to start your own food business? Concerned about where your food comes from? Looking for the best wine or beer to bring to a party? Find our shows on iTunes or Stitcher, or head to heritageradionetwork.org to listen live and subscribe to our newsletter.
Hey, welcome back to Beer Sessions Radio on the Heritage Radio Network. Danny Oliver, did you recognize that song?
Yeah, that was Sparrow. I didn't hear the whole song to give you the name, but I know it was Sparrow.
Thank you. Davis pays attention, a little bit of Trinidad
thank
flavor.
You, Dave.
And then beers, it's funny. Everyone's talking about the hazy IPAs, but on this show, we had the Five Boroughs NYC collaboration New York Pale Ale. We had, I want to call you Beyonce now. Lineup Brewing's.
It's Beyonce. Please don't say Beyonce on the show because she's
German Pills. And now, Danny from Circa, we're drinking an awesome, what is this? It's a black lager.
We call it dark lager because it's
get on the mic.
It's somewhere somewhere in between a Schwarzbier and a Dunkel. And I don't know where that fine line is, but we call it dark lager to be slightly vague so that we don't have to, we don't want to disrespect any hardcore beer style enthusiasts that may walk through our doors.
But I like this. I mean, I feel like this is what people are drinking. You know, I used to sell a lot of lagers and pills, and I like a nice, you know, dry pale ale. But your focus is actually what more pills and lagers, isn't it?
It is. Circa Brewing. we have we serve food at our establishment. So beer and food being paired together is always something that's part of our narrative. It's something that we have to consider every time we brew a beer. With lagers and sessionable beers, they go really, beer in general goes great with food, you know, but it's when you get to the more aggressive flavors that it becomes harder and harder to pair with certain items. And lagers in this brewery, I think, have been exceptional, and we've just kept going down that path. This dark lager is made with German malts. A little Carafa malt and a little bit of English crystal malt, actually. And, our lagers have usually somewhere around a 3 to 3.5 week turnaround. And, we just keep plugging away, man. They're coming out really great, and we're enjoying the hell out of them. You know, the other brewer that works for me happens to be a huge lager fan, so... You know, it's where the brewers' minds are at. It's where we're going, and we're a 7-barrel brew pub. So having fun is a huge component of choosing what we brew and why we brew it.
And then you also, just more background on you, because you are different. Everyone here is a little different.
Yeah.
You worked at Six Point, but you also studied. You took one of those. One of the brewery courses.
Yeah, well, I went to the American Brewers Guild offer a great course, and it's a brewing science and engineering course, and excellent experience. I mean, the brewing schools and the level of education in the United States is constantly growing, so there are plenty of avenues, whether it's through UC Davis or Siebel or the American Brewers Guild, lots of different avenues for people to get a really well-grounded brewing education underneath them. American Brewers Guild was my path, and it was awesome, man. Steve Parks, you know, they had tons of great lecturers, Garrett Oliver, John Mallett, lots of great, great people. And
I think, didn't Chris Kuzma also take that program?
He may have. I don't know. I'm not sure. Yeah, he may have. A lot of brewers in the New York City area that I'm aware of have taken it. But, great experience, you know, kind of gives you the base of that pyramid and kind of reveals how much work is ahead of you because, you know, I look at brewing sort of like a lifelong subscription to being a student, you know.
And let's go around. And Kat, and I knew you as a award-winning home brewer. You know, what's it been like for you now? About a year in, you making your own beer?
Yeah. I'm making my own beer. I'm learning a lot. I'm trying to open a new location out here right now. I think we talked about this a little bit before the show. It's such a interesting process, and it's way harder than you expect it to be, right? Just like when it comes into commercial leasing and whatnot. So God, just learned so much in this last like almost 12 months. I'm almost at that 1 year point. But I expect to keep learning more, but that's like more about the business side of it. And then I get to do, you know, cool collaborations like this, and I get to learn from the brewers as well. So honestly, all I ever want from brewing and working in brewing is to keep learning from people. And that's the community side of it. So
great. And Sean, you were talking about how that you guys have to get another location to be able to expand your distribution capacity.
Yeah, that's the unique part about our license. In order to distribute as a restaurant brewer, and our license is specifically restaurant with brewery attached. We've been looking around. We have a few plans for growth that we're exploring. And again, it's difficult in New York City because your real estate is limited. Is it zoned correctly? Are you going to have problems with the building department? There are a bunch of things that go with it that make it almost essential for you to kind of start sooner than later with those conversations and exploration. But it is New York City, and the goal is to grow. And, like I said earlier, the last 6 months have been really good to us. So, it's something that we're looking into right now.
Great. What's the next beer we're drinking?
This is the Beer to Guard we brewed for Smash for New York City Beer Week, our Smash beer.
Kyle was so excited he was gesturing. I knew this was a Randolph beer.
Yeah, I couldn't pour it while I was talking because, I can't do two things at once.
Open it.
So it's the beer smashing Beer to Guard.
We didn't have anything to do with that, but... this is we use black dirt malt from the guys up in Pine Island. We use a little bit of Two Row, some Munich, a little caramel 60, and then just a touch of chocolate from New York malt to kind of give it some color. And then it's hopped with Willamette and Chinook and dry hopped with a little bit more Willamette. But it's really just designed to be a great food beer. Go with some steak skewers, maybe even a little bit of lamb if you're at home cooking a little lamb chops. That's really what we're trying to go for here.
So at Randolph, what's the food program?
We basically took what we were doing at the other locations in Olita and South Williamsburg, but then amped it up a little bit. Being in Dumbo, right next to the water, we've added a bigger seafood program. We do oysters there, and we're about to do a huge sort of seafood platter for the summer, do some oysters for happy hour and stuff. But we're really starting to let our chef flex his muscles now that we have a huge kitchen downstairs. We're very fortunate with that. And he's really starting to come into his own. We're actually doing a beer and wine pairing dinner for Beer Week, although people hearing this won't be able to go to it at that point. But
Can you give us roughly the menu or the progression?
Yeah, we were tasting some stuff today. One is a steak skewer with a cauliflower truffle puree and some grilled mushrooms. Another one is a shrimp carbonara. Then we have some... fried catfish tacos. We're going to do some shishito peppers with pumpkin seeds and a little bit of yuzu. A couple other dishes that we're going to pull in store. You'll start seeing some stuff on social media, but it's going to be a fun event. We're doing a beer versus wine, so we're going to try and make it a big competition and a knockdown, drag out fight.
Yikes. That sounds a very, very crazy night for me.
And keep it going. And Danny Oliver, what's your event is coming up this weekend? I know you're really into it. Kevin's cooking.
Yes.
What are some of the foods that you'll be serving?
It's simple. It's simple cookout food. It's called IPAs and Jerk. We're pairing New York City IPAs. We're just still trying to get in right now, so I can't say who's going to be there. New York City IPAs with his jerk chicken, jerk shrimp, macaroni pie, and sweet plantains. Really simple menu, nothing fancy, just something to really get people in, get them in the cookout mode because, spring is coming and, you're just suffering from the winter blues.
Cookout, then you do smashing. That's my new word from this.
So all that together all of that together we call liming. So when you're eating good food, you're drinking good beer, and you're hanging out, you're liming.
Lyman, all right. Cheers to that.
Can we steal that as a beer name?
It has to have lime.
Keon, you got to do that.
If you brew it with me, yes.
Right. And then my award-winning homebrewers turned pro, Sean Torres. Let's talk about the style, Beer to Guard.
Okay. What do you want to talk about?
I don't know. You tell me.
So,
it's a loose style. It's a country style.
Yeah, I mean, it's clean. It has that little bit of a malt back. Very easy drinking. It's not something that we necessarily brew a lot at Killsboro, but it's something I enjoy drinking. So I thoroughly enjoyed that you brought it, Kyle.
Now, how does a Beer to Guard differ from a farmhouse ale or a Saison?
Well, it would be in the farmhouse family, sort of like a cousin or a sister to the Saison. not really as widely recognized as the Saisons, with something like a Saison DuPont that became really popular and stuff, but it's really an underserved style. I feel it's actually a great food beer, which is, again, going back to the thing that I've said a couple times now, it's one of the reasons why we brewed it. But it's not as light and crisp as a Saison, so it generally doesn't get that sort of Pilsner-esque type hype that people would do. But I think it's a great style. Got a nice little malt backbone to it.
Pair this with any meats or?
Oh, yeah, totally. I mean, I would drink this with just about any dark meat. I mean, even some pork would be good.
Yeah, we do brisket.
I'm sure this would be good with that jerk you're talking about. I would love to do that.
Yeah, I would love to have this to pair without jerk, but we can't buy beer from you.
I know.
It sucks. But you can come do a tasting.
Oh, I will. Okay. I'll come.
All right. I have another. This is a delicious beer to guard. If you guys can make it to, I got to shout out Dan Suarez again because I'm a big fangirl. He has one on at Beer Street right now. That's just fantastic as well. So this is like, it's so funny. I think this is a brewer's favorite beer that doesn't get made very often. So when it does, it's like, nice. I'll take this, but fantastic. Seriously,
you know, that's will you say that again, Kat? That was a very cool statement.
What?
Word for word.
Beer Street. I mean, Beer Street has Dan Suarez there, and he made a very delicious beer to guard that I drank. This beer is also delicious. It's just a favorite.
Beer to guard is one of those styles that
totally.
Brewers like, but consumers aren't really that aware of.
Right.
It's a very good food beer.
Yeah, it's one of those. I mean, there's a few of them that us brewers very much enjoy that, when you got to be careful when you're, making beer because people won't buy it, right, if they don't understand it. So when we get to drink it, it's kind of a treat.
I was going to say, after reading, Phil Markowski's book, Farmhouse Ales, trying to define Saison or beer to guard, I was just like, I give up.
Yeah.
it is what it is.
It's a lot.
You know, and some of you have been on the show before, like Sean. I want to talk to you about, you have a restaurant bar, and then you've added the restaurant brewery component. How is that going for you guys? Like identity wise,
It's funny that you bring that up because we were just discussing that this week, and we have plans tentatively to rebrand to just Killsboro, mainly because people are coming and literally sitting in the craft house, staring at the brewery through glass windows and going, do you guys brew beer here? Not realizing that on the board, 8 of our taps are Killsboro beers.
You know who else had to do that? Remember in Greenpoint? We all know him as Greenpoint Beer and Ales.
Dirk the Norseman, yep.
It was Dirk the Norseman.
We chose to approach it this way because Craft House had such a strong, and still has such a strong brand presence in our community. My partner, Vinny Lima, he did a great job, sort of establishing this specialty beer community on Staten Island, introducing that area to, in addition to Adobe Blues and what Ryan Barker has done over there as well, with a lot of different draft offerings, Hudson Valley.
Also Kilmeyer's right in the south.
And Kilmeyer's, they're on the opposite end. Ken Torado, yeah. And that following we didn't want to lose by just rebranding and people saying, what happened? Did the business not do well? Even though it obviously grew into a different brand. So probably around the summer we're going to announce that we're rebranding to Killsboro, and it will be officially
did you just announce it?
We have a festival for it called July Good Beer Month.
And we have a rebranding going on too, that's kind of going to combine the two. So
well, we had the biggest beer news of 2017 was Lineup's Beer Yonsei beer
was
in controversy.
Really? I love that you keep saying that. It makes me feel like...
Whatever we think, craft beer is still a niche product, and not too many things make the New York Post.
Yeah, that's pretty fucking
But
cool.
For you guys, actually, I think of the newer breweries, I really like that name a lot, Killsboro.
Yeah,
it's catchy. It ties to Staten Island, but you're not limited to Staten Island.
Yeah, and that's the idea. There's a rich brewing culture there and history that a lot of people don't realize. And, we saw Staten Island saw a large influx of German migrants in the late 19th century, and they wanted to migrate to Staten Island because of the fresh runoff water via the kills for their lagers, their German lagers, and then they would lager it in the various hills that existed on Staten Island. So to us, it was important to incorporate that. But at the same time, we didn't want to be a Staten Island brewery. We wanted to be a brewery in Staten Island. And again, not because that there's any taboos, but if we're going to grow and we're going to end up in a different area, we were inspired by this history. That's it.
And then last beer, Keon, what's this last beer we have?
So this is the Rooftop Wheat.
So Five Boroughs.
Five Boroughs Rooftop Wheat. That it's a smash beer, so super proud of this one. It's brewed with all New York State malt and hops. Again, that warthog wheat that we really do enjoy.
So when you guys say smash, you don't mean liming. You mean, state malt and state hops.
Yeah, exactly.
I love it.
And this is actually has a pretty cool heirloom hop in it, just called New York State from Peterson Farms, which is up in Seneca Castle. 100% New York State hop, or the New York hop that they have, along with 100% New York State.
I'm proud of myself because I did taste the wheat. Does anyone else want to say like their first either like nose or taste when they had this beer just now? Anybody?
The mouthfeel to me comes out.
Advanced Cicerone.
It's really soft, which I like. The wheat really comes across, and you get that nice little touch of banana and clove on the end, but it doesn't hit you over the face. It's not trying to be like, oh, I'm all about the banana and clove. It's actually a lot more to it, and you can get more into the beer.
Yeah, totally. Sorry.
No, I was just going to say an extension of that, there's a nice little lemon character too, which I'm assuming is from the hops, totally. That complements that a lot, which makes this really, really tasty.
Yeah, you hit the nail on the head. When we talk about this beer, the kind of the lemon that we get from this hop is pretty apparent. And then also too, just the yeast strain that we use and the fermentation profile, not throwing huge bananas. I don't know. For me, this is one of the few hefts where I'm like, all right, I could crush a couple of these and overtaken by, you know, your typical kind of banana esters.
So. What's the yeast strain?
It's one of Omega's hef yeasts. I'm not sure off the top of my head, but
yeah. Guys, this has been an awesome show. I just want to say how cool it is to see what you guys are making style-wise. Bearded Guards, Pils, Dark Lagers, Hefeweizens, and great double draft IPAs. But I feel like that's where a lot of people's palates are going. I remember 12, 13 years ago, I always had a couple lines of Hefeweizen and a Belgian wit. And it's nice, especially finishing with a with a Hefeweizen, man.
Absolutely.
The classics are a classic for a reason.
Yep.
Will you say that again?
The classics are a classic for a reason.
That's why he's going to get the advanced Cicerone. We learned a lot on this show. We learned about Mighty Sparrow, customs from Trinidad, the wonderful diversity of this class of 2017. You guys, cheers to all of you. And how about one more thing? A favorite beer you tasted during Beer Week? You know, I'll have to answer, but give it a quick shot and say your name because we're going on.
Sean Torres, Killsborough. I really like that noble... The golden stout. It was delicious. They used coffee to emulate that sort of roast character, so it was
great.
Really good.
From which brewery?
Noble out in California.
So that was like one of the guest breweries.
Yeah, and it was fantastic.
I didn't really get to make it out from behind the jockey box at opening bash, but I did get to try Glow Up from Folksbeer for the first time, which was awesome.
For the first time?
That's one of my favorite beers.
I don't leave the brewery much. So
that's a great brewery. I have to throw out one that's not even a New York City Brewers Guild one. I'm going to get in trouble with the guild when we have this meeting next. The Vale, that berry, God, I don't even know what it was. It tastes like a berry smoothie. It was delicious, and I got it. I'd have to wait in line. It was awesome. That's probably the best part.
And where's the Vale from?
Where's the Vale from?
Virginia.
Virginia. Virginia. I thought I meant town, but I don't know the name of the town. Sorry.
The only the only New York City Beer Week beer I tasted was Five Boroughs Pale Ale, man, all the way.
All right. All the way.
Forever, I'm a Bel Air Sour fangirl from Brooklyn Brewery. It's Danny Oliver.
All right.
It's Kyle from Randolph, and I think Rar Brewing, who was pouring next to us at the festival, they had a really good just dry hop sour with blueberries and raspberries. That was very, very good.
And I just want to give, I was at KCBC, I had their, it was a rye lager with green tea that also in the lager category was rocking. So you guys have been awesome. Thanks for joining me here. Shout out down the road, one of my festivals, Brisket King of NYC is back April 25th. Great event, barbecue, and a lot of kosher chefs been winning the last couple years. Check it out, brisketking.eventbrite.com. And thanks to our producer, Justin Kennedy, engineer David Tadashore, the New York City Brewers Guild, and New York City Beer Week, and I'm Jimmy Carboni. We'll catch you next time on Beer Sessions Radio. All right.
Cheers, guys. Cheers.
All right.
Cheers.
Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For our freshest content and to hear about exclusive events, subscribe to our newsletter. enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at heritage_radio. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be a part of the food world's most innovative community? Rate the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join our community by becoming a member. Just click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Thanks for listening.
Ever wonder what kind of podcast Julia Child would have made? Probably would have been one where she introduced you to all of her latest discoveries and favorite people. And that's exactly the tradition we're following on Inside Julia's Kitchen, the podcast of the Julia Child Foundation for Gastronomy and the Culinary Arts. Join me, Todd Shulkin, your host, and the Foundation's Executive Director, as I bring you inside the Foundation's world to meet the bright lights of today's food universe, just as Julia used to do from her own famous kitchen. New episodes air on Heritage Radio Network, Wednesdays at noon Eastern. Listen in.